morning, God, as we gather. God, I don't know if there's any four songs that could have been picked better than this morning. God, just feel like you just were right there with us in our worship, God, just surrounding us, God, and making your presence known. And God, every song, as always, is about you, God, and I love that. Thank you for sending us the worship pastor that you did, God, whose heart is for you and aware that nothing, God, should steal your glory, and just leads us into worship, just leads us to worship. God, as I listened to that song a minute ago that just talked about how, God, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. God, just reminds me so much, God, of what you do. And it reminds me so much of this series that we're in right now, God, where it's a journey. God, and we can't afford to be people of emotion in our relationship with you. God, we have to know that we know, God, that you're always at work around us. You're always inviting us in, and that sometimes just because we don't sense it doesn't mean that you're not growing us. God, sometimes you're just feeding us. Sometimes we just need to listen. We don't always have to be busy. Thank you, God, that all of our lives you've been faithful. And that means before we were Christ followers, God, you were faithful. God, we stand here in this room as Christ followers, and we are only Christ followers because of your faithfulness, because of your love for us, because you made a pathway for us where you saw something in us that we couldn't see for ourselves. And now you've invited us into your kingdom. You've invited us into your kingdom work. You're in the process of growing us and shaping us, not just for ourselves and not even just for your glory, Father, but for those who are yet to come to see what it looks like to be a Christ follower. And God, that does bring glory to you. God, this morning as we just open up your word and we just continue our worship, God, I just pray that you would fill my mouth with words of life, God, and that what you want to say would be the very thing that would pierce the hearts of the people in this room and the people listening online. God, that we just take a bite this morning and just chew on it for a long time. Let it work right down on into us, Father God, and transform us. Help us to just be faithful to you, God, when we don't understand and when we do. When we don't feel you moving and when we do. God, help us to not be a society, as a church, that just wants the drive-through, fix it now, get it now, wait for nothing, order it online mentality with you. Because you don't work that way. Your ways are not our ways, and your thoughts are not our thoughts. And so this morning, I pray that you would set our mind on your thoughts and your ways. And train us up, God, in the way that we should go, because we are your children. Thank you for whatever it is you're going to do today, Father. I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Good morning. It's good to see you today. If you haven't been with us since we've reopened, we are in a series called Something's Missing. And in that series, we're talking about the thing that is missing is holiness. There seems to be a gap between our salvation and our gratefulness for our salvation and our last breath. And that gap is that a lot of times, because we know we're still stumbling and we know we still fall, that we just dump everything in the grace pot and don't realize that we still need to live according to the Word of God. That we still strive for those things to grow in holiness. We can't be a people that just says, well, I'm imperfect and I'm just so thankful for the grace of God and not pursuing the things that God's Word actually calls us to. We have to be a people that are full of grace, but also full of obedience. Correct? There's no shortcut to holiness. Let me just burst your bubble now. There is no shortcut. It will take your entire life to be who God wants you to be. Your entire life, a pursuit of holiness, no shortcuts. I remember when I was in my early 20s and I played at an orchestra. I played in an orchestra in College Station, Texas. So I drove from Huntsville to College Station, back and forth a couple of times a week with three or four of my friends, And we would take this journey to practice, and then we would play in the orchestra. We'd give concerts and things like that. And we decided as young, dumb kids that what we would do is we would try to see if we could make a shortcut out of the right way to go. And so what we did is, if you've ever been down Highway 30 between Huntsville and College Station, it curves a lot, right? You've been there, Taylor. You know, you used to go to A&M. So back and forth, it goes like this all the way to College Station. And what we would do is we're like, how do we get the most direct route to College Station? And so every time a curve would come up, we would get on one far shoulder as far as we could and drive as straight as we could to the other shoulder, like with every car. I know, 20 and dumb. Right? But that's what we would do, to see how many seconds or how many minutes we could cut off, to see how many tenths of a mile we could cut off of our trip. And I think the whole trip was like 0.7 miles, but it was loads of fun and stupid. Right? We wanted the shortcut to College Station, and it saved us like less than 1 minute. And it was dumb, because at the least we could have gotten a ticket, and then you just go from there, right? I mean, maybe you have an accident, and then you wreck your car. Maybe you wreck someone else's car. Maybe you get hurt. Maybe you hurt someone else. Maybe you get killed. Maybe you kill someone else. Maybe you spend a little time in jail, right? If they know what you were doing and why you were doing it, right? That's what we used to do. We would try to go, and we did it a lot. We did it often. I'm still here. I don't know how. And I wasn't the one driving, just disclaimer. I wasn't the one driving, but I will say I supported the whole thing. Because, you know, when you're 20, 21, 22 years old, you think you know everything. And it was loads, and it was fun. It really was fun. It's kind of like when you stop the car at the railroad tracks and you run around the car and then you get back in. Did you guys do that when you were young? We thought that was hilarious. Now it's just dumb, right? We used to do stuff like that. Or at a traffic light at a major intersection. Yeah, we did all that kind of stuff, right? Because you know what? You're a teenager. I don't care if you are 20, you're a teenager, right? And today, if you're 30, guess what you are? A teenager. Just saying. That was free. Didn't cost anything. The new grown-up age is 30 or 35, if you haven't heard. I'm just saying, that's what they say. It's statistics, it's not me. And you know why? This is totally off. But you know why? Because mama and daddy pay for most kids' cell phone bills until they're 35 years old. Shame on you if you're one of those people. And that's all I have to say about that. Because this is not a lesson on parenting today. But that's part of why they don't grow up. Oh, I'm self-control right now. It's just coming in. Just coming in. Self-control. Don't say it. Stay on topic. So I'm going to stay on topic. We tried to take a shortcut to College Station, but there are no shortcuts to holiness, right? The best way is the right way. Say that. The best way is the right way. Now I get to hold you accountable for that because you said it. The best way to holiness is the right way to holiness. So when it comes to holiness, there are no shortcuts. So in other words, maybe this is why you're struggling on the road to holiness. Maybe you're just going through the mechanical things that you do as a Christian. Maybe you're reading your Bible. Maybe, how many of you have a Bible reading plan? Okay, if you don't, there's one in the back of the scoop sheet. So there's a Bible reading plan. Are you just rushing through the Bible reading plan so that you can say you read the Bible in a year? Because that's what you call a shortcut. You're not getting anything out of it. You're just rushing through so that you can live your real life, right, outside of that. You missed the whole point. But a lot of times that's kind of what we do in our Christian life. It's like the goal is finishing the Bible in a year rather than letting God transform us. I would rather you not finish the Bible in a year because you were chewing on it and chewing on it and chewing on it and you got so far behind, but you were transformed. That's the real goal, because that's what's going to grow you in a right relationship with God. That's what's going to grow you in holiness, being set apart for God, separated to Him to be used. Do you rush through your prayer life and it's always give me, give me, give me, do for me, do for me, do for me? Or do you go into your prayer sometimes and say absolutely nothing and just say, God, speak to me and wait? Sometimes the road to holiness is paved with good intentions, but wrong motives, right? There's no shortcut to holiness. God's word, God's law is given to us for a reason, and His law that is given to us is not supposed to make us frustrated. It's not supposed to make us, boxed in and just a rule follower. It's actually for our success, right? His word is for our success. I told you last week, you know, if you live the single life, there are unspoken rules about the single life. You just know what the single life is. If you want to have a girlfriend, different girlfriend every week, that, you know, it's just, that's probably revelation of your character, but you can do that because you're not married. But if you're married and you try to have a girlfriend, those unspoken rules of marriage are going to get you in trouble, right? Okay, need I say more? Holiness, the same way. When you look at God's word, they're not there just because. They're there to grow you. There's a purpose and reason behind it. There are parameters that create boundaries in your life to be successful because you've chosen Christ. Turn to Psalm 1 this morning. The book of Psalms is in your Old Testament. It's right smack in the middle of your Bible, actually. If you open the middle of your Bible and you go, no, it's not, it's Proverbs, then just take a left, okay? But it's just right there in the middle of your Bible. If you're Jeremiah or Isaiah or Proverbs, just go left, and you'll find the very large book of Psalms. And I want you to see how God's Word is intended for our lives so that we can grow in holiness, and we want to grow in holiness, and we're excited about the journey. Psalm 1, what I love about Psalm 1 and I love about Proverbs 1 is that they just talk about how great and good God's Word is, and they set you up for the rest of those books. In Psalm 1, this is what the writer says, and you know I won't be able to get through it, so we'll just break it down like we always do. Psalm 1, first four words, blessed is the man. Or as we say in everyday English, blessed is the man, right? How many people in this room want to be blessed? Okay, the rest of you need counseling. Why would you not want to be blessed? Especially blessed by your Creator. To be blessed by God. Sometimes we misunderstand when we use the word blessing. We'll say things like, because my house wasn't destroyed in a hurricane, God blessed me. As if He didn't bless the person that was damaged in a hurricane. Because that's the person that's really going to grow. Right? We tend to throw that word around very flippantly. But if you really want to be blessed by God, He gives you a formula to be blessed. He tells you what not to do, which is what I love about the Word of God, and then He tells you what to do. God's Word never goes, be blessed, figure it out. That never happens in God's Word. He always explains things to us. So the writer says, blessed is the man who does not, just give us the does not first, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Now, we don't like that word, and all of us will go, oh, well, I don't ever walk in the counsel of the wicked. I don't walk in the counsel of evil, but it's really the counsel of the world. Because anything that's not the counsel of God is the counsel of the world. And if you go the world's way instead of God's way, you're outside of God's plan. He would call that wicked or evil, even though we don't like those words. He's holy. He has the right to use those words. Amen? Okay, a couple of you agree. So when he says, don't walk in the counsel of the wicked, this is what he's talking about. A couple of different things. One, just the world's counsel overall. Like the world is going to tell you how to live, why to live, where to live, what to do. It may not be sitting you down and going, now let me tell you, Shelby, this is what you do. The world doesn't do that. What the world does is lives a certain way around you and without words pressures you to live the same way. Okay? If you follow that counsel, you're not blessed by God. Because he says blessed is the one who doesn't do that. Right? Now you're saying, but what about my mama? Like my mama, I always go to my mama. How many of you go to your mom for advice? Like everybody loves their mom. Like when you lose your mom, you just lose, there's a hole, right? Okay, so you go to your mom for counsel, and you say, well, my mom would never give me wicked advice. My mom would never give me evil advice. But if all your mom gives you is, you poor thing, worldly advice, that's not blessing. I mean, mama loves you, but mama, listen, and best friend who calls yourself a Christian, listen, when your kid is hurting, when your kid is going through, when someone hurts your kid, you don't go, I tell you what I do. That is not a mama. Mama, if you're a Christ follower, Mama Bear doesn't get to come out. This is what Mama Bear or best friend gets to do. Best friend goes, I've been where you are. Or best friend says, I wish I could understand what you're going through. Like best friend empathizes or sympathizes, amen, or they're not a very good friend. But then what they do is they say, you know, I hate that this happened to you, but you have to remember who you are. And you are God's instrument. Take 24 hours. Breathe. Don't react. Trust God. Pray. It's in times of trouble and in darkness when He can shine the brightest in your life and you're a living testimony. I will be here for you. I will walk with you. But don't knee jerk. That's godly counsel. Amen? But sometimes that's not what we want. So sometimes the counsel has to counter what we want and it repositions us. And I can tell you, anytime I was counseled like that, even though it's not what I wanted, it was like a refreshing for me. You know, it's bittersweet, and there's always more sweet than bitter. Amen? Blessed is he who does not walk in the counsel of this world. He goes on as if that's not enough, and he says, or stand in the way of sinners. In other words, he's saying station yourself or habitually walk the way, or not walk, but stand the way the sinner stands. Okay? So the first one is don't walk in the counsel of the world. The second one he says is, don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't look like them. Don't start walking that way and taking that advice and reflecting that way. And he goes further and says, and don't sit in the seat of mockers, or those who are rebellious against God. I even hear Christians sometimes say things like this, and they would never think they're a mocker, but they go, you know what, I just don't believe that's God, what God really has for me. Well, you just mock God's word because he said in his word that was what he had for you. We're mocking without realizing, or God just wants me to be happy. Happiness and joy are not the same thing. And when you say God wants me to be happy, you're the center of your universe instead of God being the center of your universe. Growth comes through pain. What's the gym adage? Pain is weakness leaving the body, John, you know, right? Pain is weakness leaving the body. That's why it hurts, right? But do you see the progression in this scripture? If you walk in the counsel of the wicked, it's going to slow you down. The next thing you know is you're going to be standing still in the way of sinners, and then you're going to take yourself a comfortable little seat in the seat of mockers. That will be the progression if you let it into your life. You won't feel it because it's just as much of a journey as holiness is. It creeps in. He says, blessed is the man who doesn't do those things. You're like, well, that's great, but what do I do? I'm so glad you asked. He goes on in verse 2, and he says, but his, whose? The blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. How many of you are just delighted by Scripture? Love your enemy. Woo, I can't wait. Right? I mean, sometimes Scripture doesn't feel like it's exciting, or I can't wait to do it, or can I leave early just to go do it? But can you imagine, as you're walking in the law of God and experiencing him with spiritual markers and seeing the results of what you do just when you're obedient, it turns to delight. Because what it produces in you, you want more of. It's addicting. Patty and I were talking this week. We were just, you know, we kind of talked through the office. Well, we need a window, Patty. No, we probably don't. I need a window with one-way glass so I can see what Patty's doing and she can't see me, but on her side. But well, you know, I was reading this week, and I just yelled across to the other office and said, Patty, God's word is so good. And she's like, what are you reading? You know, and so then we began to talk about God's word, and then it made her think of something. I love having those kind of conversations. And we just had this really, and I love that my delight is in God's word. That didn't happen overnight, or I didn't wake up one day and say, I'm just going to be delighted from now on, no matter what God says. Tithe. Oh, I'm so excited. Right? But he says here that his delight, the blessed man's delight, is in the law of God, the precepts of God, the word of God. And on it, on his law, the word of God, he meditates day and night. You know why he meditates day and night? Because he's delighted. Sometimes what we have to do in our Christian life as we're pursuing this path of holiness is we just have to do things that we may not be delighted with. And you just trust God and you become delighted. 21 days to create a habit, right? So at first when you're doing that, you're not enjoying it at all. But after 21 days, you're like, I got this. And all of a sudden, you want to do what you didn't want to do before. Delight works the same way. And so you meditate on it day and night. You know why? Because the counsel of the world is always coming in at you. That's why you need to delight in God's word and meditate on it day and night. Memorize Scripture. I just encourage you. That was free, but I want to encourage you to do that. He says, on his law, God's law, God's word, he meditates day and night. And when he does that, look at what the blessing is. He is like a tree planted by streams of water. It doesn't say health, wealth, and prosperity. It doesn't say that. See, a lot of times, especially in the Jews' day, when this was written, if you had health, wealth, and prosperity, they understood that to be the favor of God. And that if you didn't, then you must have sinned somehow. I mean, that our nature's never changed, has it? We still think that we're blessed if something doesn't happen to us or something good does happen to us. And it's almost like we're saying everybody else isn't blessed, which is crazy. He tells us here, he says, the person that delights in the law of God is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit when?